Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Spiritual Landscape Show with hosts Lottie and Frankie calling from Stockholm. It's 6 p.m. here as well as in Paris, 9 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. East U.S. We have 5 p.m. London time, 7 p.m. Greece and Finland. We are the show that discuss different spiritual topics concerning us all. Well, we had a lovely day here in Stockholm. Spring is in the air eventually. We have been waiting so long and all of the snow is gone and now it's, well, sunshine and lovely weather. So we are hoping that it will be continuing. Well, folks, today we will discuss embodied spirituality in everyday life. It is a very interesting topic, I think. Call in at 714-816-4628 and in national caller style plus 1-714-816-4628. So folks, call in and discuss with us. So get a mini reading. Can that get a mini reading here live on air? And we take calls as they come from about 10 to 15 minutes into the show. So don't hang up, just wait, folks. I'm Lottie, coming to you live from Stockholm, Sweden. I'm a psychic medium working with spirit in different ways since the mid-90s, also taking mini readings for guidance here live at the show. I'm doing this show together with my co-host and husband, Frankie, an astrologer, teacher and out-of-the-body traveler. He uses I Ching for answering your questions here live at the show. So call in at 714-816-4628 and international caller style plus 1-714-816-4628 and get your spot early. Remember to press 1 on your keypad on your device to be placed in queue to speak to us live here at the show. You can listen live and text chat with us all in one place. Go to our chat room in psychictalk.net/live where you can send messages to us during the live broadcast. You can comment, ask questions, chat with other listeners and even get request a reading. psychictalk.net/live. Or call in now and get your spot early at 714-816-4628 and don't forget to press 1 on your keypad and international caller style plus 1 before the number. Okay? Well, let me bring on my co-host for Spiritual Landscape, Frankie. Hi, Frankie. How are you?
Hello, ma'am. Yes, I'm very doing very well.
Yeah,
and today
fine.
We are going to speak about something rather interesting, I think.
Yeah,
something
I'm really excited. But before we do that, Frankie, please, can you remind us what topic we discussed the last time? We were talking about something about the realms of human consciousness and especially unconsciousness.
Yes, actually, the title is a book of the famous transpersonal psychiatrist and psychologist Stanislav Grof, an American Czech scientist. And the title of the book was The Realms of the Human Unconscious. It was a way to map again, I mean, in a threefold manner, the biographical level described by Freud. Then he added the importance of the birth experience and the life in the womb, you know, which was actually depicted by some of the disciples of Freud, Otto Rank and Sandor Ferenczi. And the transversal realms described by Jung and Assagioli, you know, well, in the conjunction with the teachings of the Far East, you know. So that was that threefold model, you know, I try to describe to our listeners. I hope, that I did it quite well. I don't know.
I think you did, baby.
In this case.
Yeah, that was a little bit about our topic the last time. And this time, today, we are talking about embodied spirituality in everyday life. Well, I think this is a really, really interesting topic concerning a long tradition of dualists, the sacral spirituality and the profane body. Well, I'm thinking about monks and nuns and the monastery tradition, when you should not be allowed to have some fun or just to embrace spirituality and not this life on the body. So, well, I think it's very important and very interesting concerning what you all are doing here, living spirituality in another way. So can you give us some background, Frankie?
Yes, before we start to expose, I mean, in a rather academic way, you know, trying to do that anytime because it's very important to describe a background. Basically, organized religions have a main ascending way of embracing spirituality, you know. And actually, spirituality is a movement of ascendance and descendance. You know, it's an ascending and descending movement of psychic and spiritual energies through the subtle channels of the soul, which are the chakras, the nadis, the kundalini channel. Let us assume, while these words are written in Sanskrit, that they're representing commonality or universality for all men and women through time and space, you know. I call them kundalini, but, well, in the West, you could call it bioenergetics or whatever, you know, but these are the same phenomena, you know, with in different terms, you know.
Yeah, I think that's very important.
The prehistorical times, the shaman was embodying early spirituality, the contact with the world of the ancestors, the union with the animal god, you know, because animals were incarnated gods, if you want. They were living beings, you know, of representative of the cult of Gaia, the Mother Earth, you know, the Great Mother, if you want. And at the same time, they could participate to hunting, medical assistance, teaching the youngsters. So that was, you know, the spirituality had a constantly and central role in everyday life, you know. And what I'm trying to say is that when the so-called Axial Age of the 6th century before Christ was a unique event in the history of human consciousness evolution, because there are several the notion of spirituality has reached a very, very high heightened position, and some people say that during the time before, it was mostly astral religions, you know, And now they are calling the causal religion. Yeah, and they appeared in with Pythagoras in Greece, Lao Tse in China, Buddha in India, and some others, in Egypt and so on and so forth. But it was the first time when there is a recognition of some kind of unity of the Godhead, if you want. Before it was more a pantheon of different goddesses and gods, or astral religions, if you want,
I think it's so interesting because it happened about the same time in different countries around the world. I think it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It is because we are dealing with a non-dual world, if you want. So, things are emerging at the same time in different areas of the planet. But that's very interesting. You said, So suddenly there is a shift from the pagan, the pantheism, toward a more not a monolithic monotheism, but the idea of the unity of the divine, if you want, the monotheism, the interpretation of Middle East religions, But it was more the idea of unity, consciousness, very, very much with Buddha and Lao Tse,
Yes.
But anyhow, since that time, it looks like the religious practitioners left away the descending side of spirituality and just the emphasis on the ascending phases, if you want, And the main archetype of that ascending phases of spirituality, neglecting the descending phases, it is the idea of opening the crown chakra, and the liberation from the chains of rebirth, and in India, the Jivan Mukta, the one who is liberated in life, was the archetypal figure of that ascending movement only, And it was imitated later, It was imitated later on by the monkish world and in the Christian world, where there's a monks community who are just abandoning the world renouncing the world and just to focus on these higher chakras, if you want, even in Christianity they're not called chakras, but there is always in a contemplative state the eyes concentrated on the top of the head, if you want. If you look at there's some paintings of the exorcism of Saint Francis or whatever, they're always with their eyes moving toward the top of the head,
Yes,
this is
absolutely.
A classical example.
I think we are soon continuing more with the background and also discussion, but we have a question from the chat room, and I think we have some callers. So shall we answer some questions and then going back, Frankie? It's all right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, from the chat room, it's a quick question. It's been a while since I've talked to him, but just checking to see if I will or will I run into him. Well, pondering, newbie, I think you're going to meet this person again, but I think it's gonna take a while to next time talking to him, to this guy. Don't give up and be aware of some signals and signs around you, and I think you will run into him, actually, but not yet. Okay? Good luck for you. Well, I think we have some callers online. So, hello, caller. Somebody there? Hello? Well, Well, I don't know if somebody I don't reach. So I give out the number again. So please call us at 714-816-4628. And international callers dial +1 714-816-4628. So let's continue, Frankie. Well, Frankie, I can't hear you.
Yeah, I'm here, I think. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Okay.
I was speaking of the main paradigm of that ascending movement of the cycle of spiritual energies, you know, because when you are studying some text, you know, for example, you have, for example, the great teacher Ramana Maharshi, you know, of India, used to say that it's not only descendants of the spiritual energy from the base of the spine toward the chakra of the top of the head, the Brahma Rudra, but it's also after that a descending movement in the heart. Not the heart chakra, but the heart on the right side is another center. You know, that's very interesting because it's very esoteric teaching. And the channel of that descending energy is called the Amitra Nadi. The channel of immortality, according to the sources. And then you have, again, the movement of ascendance and descendance and as a cycle of... And that's very interesting because in those days, they just recognize only the ascending movement, you know? And later on, when we are 200 years after Christ or 300 years after Christ, they recognize the descending aspect of, the whole cycle of energy, spiritual energies with Tantra in India, you know. That they are recognizing, then this is what we call embodied spirituality.
Yes, and can we hold there? Because I want to talk a little bit more about Tantra and the misunderstanding of it. But we have a caller, and we have, I think we have a chat room question more. Somebody here, Relaxed Individual, that's a good name. I'm thinking about starting a new business. Will it be successful and financially beneficial? Well, it's going to take a while. I often say that. I'm very sorry, but I think it's a process. And I think it's very good that you are starting this business. And it's going to take a while building it up and some setbacks on the way to learn to get more successful. And after a while, I think actually it's going to be a good business and you are getting doing money, making money from it, but not at the start. So you have to be patient. Okay? Thanks. And I think we have a caller now. So, hello, caller.
Hello.
What's your name and what the... Hello, what's your name, caller, and where... Yeah?
Yes. Hi, my name is Jacqueline. I'm calling from New Jersey. And that same question that you had with your previous... caller or the person in the chat, that's been my underlying question for like the last, let's say, 10 years. That's what I want to do. But 8 years ago, my mother passed away, and I've been in a spiritual battle ever since with myself, with my family, with my profession, with everything. And I've been trying to navigate everything through all of this. So I'm just trying to understand the lessons that I'm being taught. Trying to definitely handle the frustrations internally and externally. And any insight or... you know, guidance that you could give me, I would appreciate it.
Yeah. Yes, I would. It's
many
very,
roadblocks, many obstacles.
Yeah.
Many.
Yeah, I can see and I can feel and I can hear it. But, you know, you have some kind of an angel beside you. I can see an angel on your left side.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very powerful and shimmering spiritual entity protecting you, loving you, following you. And I think it's a he, actually. It's a bit difficult to see he or she without angels. But it's a lovely energy. And, you know, you have been supported every step on your way, even though it has been very tough for you. So you have really support from the angel here. And on the other side, I see a woman. I don't know if it's your mother or somebody else, but I see a woman from the spirit world. She's quite old, this woman. And I see her in, you know, the nice dress. Not very short hair, a little bit longer hair, and she's quite old, and I think she was sick at the end, and there were a lot of troubles with the body, and perhaps she was forget things, and yeah, was a little bit confused. But she left this world very peacefully, and now she's in another realm, and well, she looks very happy. Can you understand who this woman can be?
When I hear about a woman on my side, I think of my mother.
Yeah.
My mother, I actually glimpsed my mother in her house the other night, about two or three weeks ago. But leaving peacefully, I'm not sure if my mother left peacefully. I wasn't there at the time. And there was a lot of controversy surrounding my mother's death because someone else was in the house. My grandmother as well. When I think of my mother, the only other woman I think that would be on my side was my mother or my grandmother. And
you
these
know,
are,
I
follow their lineage very strongly, and I find myself in their shoes. So I don't know if it's either one of them.
Yeah. I think I get a feeling that it's perhaps your grandmother, actually. But you have to decide. But she is old, and I think she went peacefully, and she looks very peacefully for me now. And she's putting her hand on your right shoulder. I hope you can feel something about it, and it's comforting. And I also she said, and I also use my card. Things are turning for you. Well, I can feel a bit of a hopelessness inside you, and I can really see that it was a lack of balance and harmony in your life the last time. But things are going to get much better. You have grown a lot these few, I think, 6 to 8 months especially, and your creativity is coming back, and I really see that it's, the wheel is turning for you. And it's going to be much better. And concerning the family and the family issues, I think you should going strong and holding, standing for yourself. Sometimes we need to shut our ears and don't hear and take in so much of what other people are thinking and saying, etc. So I think stand for yourself, look forward. Remember that you have so much support from the spiritual realms and the spirit world, and go forward with your personal life and also your working life and your business life. Let's hear what Frank is getting with I Ching. Frankie? Are you there, Frankie?
I Ching, yes, I'm here. I Ching is, well, corroborating what you told her, you know. It's going to be a successful progress. You know? This is a clear hexagram of the I Ching. There are no moving lines, so this is representing what she can expect from the future. I would like to ask her one question. You know, there is an image who came to my consciousness. about that energy imbalance in our being, you know. Are you listening to me?
Yes, I am. I am.
Yeah. Were you not hurted by a stone or somewhere in your life?
Were I not what? Encountered by what?
That you got a stone on your head once in your life, you know.
You said stone?
A stone, yeah, a stone. S-U-N-E.
Yes, I'm a very, very free thinker, but I'm surrounded by a lot of closed-minded people who are very rigid in their thinking. And it frustrates me because they don't listen, but they depend on me. So I'm constantly being pulled in many directions, even when I don't want to and I want to shut down. I find myself being pulled, and I'm very empathic. I didn't know what it was until I started to pay attention to, you know, the spiritual side of things and call into these shows and listen to experiences. I didn't know that I was an empath. But then when I started hearing about it, that's when I realized this is why I feel this way. I mean, I could get up in the morning and I could ground and I could move forward. But then when the distractions come, it's like I soak up everything. And like the nature of my...
You didn't answer my question. If you get hit by a stone once in your life, a stone, you know, when you were a kid or maybe during in your teenage times or something like that.
Did I get hit by a stone?
Yeah, an accident.
A stone, yeah.
Yes.
Somebody threw a stone.
I hit a wall once.
Yes, okay.
I had a concussion. I had a concussion in high school once, and I hit a wall once. Somebody, like, pulled me out of a chair, and I fell back, and I hit a wall, and I blacked out. And
yes, and since that day, you have an imbalance in your energy body, and a good way to balance it is to using acupuncture, you know. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, yes.
Because
I never thought of
that. Your body. I can sense it, you know. You offer some time, you feel imbalance in when you're walking, you know, some kind of these
yes.
things, you know, you have some trouble to remember things.
Yes.
Yeah. So that an acupuncture treatment could be extremely good for you, you know, actually. You know?
Wow.
To rebalance
many years
your energies. Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, amazingly, that's the way, you know, it is that way sometimes. And when you have your energy and your systems are rubbed, you know, one day, you know. So you have to restore the natural flow. And doing an acupuncture treatment could be very good for you, you know.
Okay. From a spiritual standpoint, though, I've had many things hurled at me spiritually. And do you think this acupuncture will help?
Oh, yes, yes, because that has very, very much to do with your bio energies and is affecting, makes you depressed, you know. Is that what I mean? You have some deep depression and you don't know what is from where it's coming from, you know. So you have to be very careful that there are some incidents from that side, you know, and you to receive a blow on the head is not very good, you know, for the energies of the entire system, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I could think of three different things throughout my life that, yeah, but definitely
I
had a concussion.
Use that treatment, and I will feel that you will feel much better, and your spiritual practice will be clearer to you. You know, you won't have those kind of troubles with a lot of negative thoughts and things like that. You will be more bioenergetically more balanced. You know, if you're doing that, you know, I really highly encourage you to do that. You know.
Okay.
Did you get what I said?
Yes, I understand. You said you're encouraging me to do the acupuncture because the imbalance.
Sure. Yeah.
Is it okay, Declan?
Yes. Could I ask you a question about the chakra system, though?
The chakra system? Yeah.
Yes. In terms of even like the imbalances that he referenced and the things that I told you I've been experiencing, is he also recommending that the acupuncture will help me to balance my chakra? Because I kept thinking that I needed Reiki.
Yeah, it is connected. The acupuncture can reestablish, the natural flow of the energies and the chakras, of course. You know?
Okay, because I always feel, when I get stuck, I feel it in my head and in my belly. And I know that that's your crown chakra and your sacral chakra.
Mm-hmm. So try the acupuncture and see if it can help you.
Okay. Thank you so much for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thank you for calling and good night.
Nice day. Thank you, Francois.
Goodbye.
Well, we have a couple of questions in the chat room, and then we have some announcements to do before we are going on. Well, relaxed individual asking about an angel. Do I have an angel with me? So let's see. Yeah, I can see some kind of an angel behind your back at your left side. And I think that angel has been protecting you several times in your life. And especially it says that something in your childhood, I think it's kind of an accident, or if you were really, really sick, and then you have really guardian angel watching out for you and helping you. The angel has been with you and walking along with you from the day you were born to the day you will leave this life. So I hope that feels all right. Then we have pondering newbie about my father has passed, and does he have any message from him here? So let's see. Well, I can see a man here. Well, he's not a young man. He's an elderly man, but he doesn't look that old, not very tall, and I think he hadn't so very much hair on his head. He's looking very nice, and I think he was kind of a practical man, actually, good with his hand. And what does he have to say? Yeah, it's something practical you're going to do if you have a house or an apartment and do some renovation or reparation there. And I think if it's small, you can do it by yourself, but if it isn't, so please use help, professional help. I think it's going to be very good. And it has been some worries inside of you for a while, and he tries to calm you down and say, don't worry, be patient, and let the life lead you right on the way, but they are not that big. So please relax, sit down and enjoy your life. And I think also your father is visiting you, something with money also. I think you shouldn't spend too much money, not so much shopping for the moment. Perhaps you should take it a little easy with shopping and save your money for something else, and then you can go on shopping later on. So that was the message to you, and I hope it's all right, pondering newbie. So some kind of or some announcement. So upcoming shows. Let's see what we have here. Tomorrow is Monday, and we have Compassionate Light, Healing and Guidance with Kathleen Hahn, and she continues her series of shows discovering who you truly are. And this week is Your Magnificence and, of course, Open Line. And then on Tuesday, We have open lines all show, along with questions, comments, and free mini readings. The Power of Three show with hosts Vivian Aubin and Ruth Fullhorst. And every Thursday now we have Stephanie Meyer's new show, Stephanie's Guided Tarot, and open lines with tarot readings. So that's what's going on next week. Oh, we have Fridays also, of course, new host. Cassie Shogren joins Dr. Ruth Wilkerson and X for open lines. Come and meet Casey and Kathy and call in, please. So, Frankie, about this misunderstanding about the Tantra, I think it's a quite common misunderstanding that Tantra is about sex. What do you say about that?
Oh, yeah, that's what we should, we will call it the street, understanding what Tantra is about, you know. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a very deep system, you know, of spiritual practice. And as I spoke about that descending movement of energies and resting in the heart, you know, on the right side, not the heart chakra, not the center, of the resting and experiencing the non-dual state of being, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was also a response for the need of practicing the Bhakti Yoga and Guru Yoga, which are practices of surrendering to a godlike incarnation, a spiritual realized being, you know, and
mm-hmm.
also the role of the embodied compassion of the Bodhisattva, the Buddhist ideal, not leaving the wheel of karma in order to help sentient beings who are suffering, you know, and not following the ascending way of the arahat, the solitary practitioner, if you want. So this is a combination that this is Tantra. Tantra is a complex description of the body energies, the subtle body, and the connection to the causal body, for example, and the non-dual state. And at the same time, it is to live plainly in the body in order to enjoy life and to have that deeper and richer sense of the spiritual blessing, you know, flowing
mm-hmm.
through the entire being. So the body was, if you want, the dignity of the body was restored as the temple of the soul. Hello?
Yeah, and I think that's very interesting. And you're talking about a lot about India, and we have these three bodies. And I think what if you are seeing that from the Western point and perhaps Christianity, can you translate these bodies into some kind of Christian terms?
Yes, in Buddhism you have, according to the three basket of the Buddhist law, you have that description of the archetypal man as composed of three bodies, the physical body, the gross body, the Nirmayakaya, the Sambhogakaya, mm-hmm. is the subtle body, and Dharmakaya is the body of truth, you know. And in the West, we have the concept of Trinity, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are actually functioning the same way, you know. So that we have, a theoretical, if you want, conceptual correlation between the East and West on that sense. And that's very good for dialogue, you know, between several schools of spirituality.
Really, to think more about similarities than the differences. Of course, there are differences too, but a lot of similarities. And you can also see that the Buddhist schools, they are quite different sometimes. And you have the Bodhisattvas, you have it not in the old school Theravada, you have it in Mahayana and Vajrayana schools. And there, I think also it's, so what you were telling us before, that it's very interesting because there you have layman perspective. You can be a layman, you can be a Bodhisattva layman, not living in the monastery, but just an ordinary person taking the vows and helping other people to try to reach enlightenment and live spirituality and still enjoy life. this life, this body. You can have a family, an ordinary job, and still be very spiritual. And I think it's so important today.
Yes, and I would like to add that after the age of European, I mean, the so-called Age of Enlightenment, you know, when the triumph of reason in Europe came at the 1700th century, when the Romantic movement came, they start to reject, I mean, the only reason, you know, the talking head paradigm, if you want. And they wanted to celebrate the emotional life, you know, the recycling of life, of the spiritual nature, you know. So we can see a rebellion against the Victorian age, and with the coming back of these esoteric teachings and the East and West synthesis, you know. Mm-hmm. And more interesting, there was that guy, you know, the German psychoanalyst Wilhelm Reich rediscovered, if you want, reactualized the tantras in the West with his discovery of the organ energy, which is known in India, the cosmic energy called prana, and in China was called the qi, you know, and qi in Japan. You know? So he rediscovered, if you want, that energy pervading the entire universe, and it is functioning through orgasm, you know, that orgastic release, you know, it is a spiritual function, you know, if you want. So embodied spirituality has, if you want, taken its roots in the West with the work of Wilhelm Reich. You know, well, he was not a spiritual Buddhist, but he had that kind of that he recognized the spiritual of the body, you know. So we can see him as the father of the sexual revolution of the 60s, you know, because everybody is referring to him, you know, with that, you know. So in that sense, sexuality was a way to transmute the energies toward higher states of consciousness, like he's down in Tibet, for example, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's interesting. Before we move on, you can still call in for the question, mini reading, or just debate with us on 714-816-4628. And international callers, +1 714-816-4628. Well, you know, Frankie, I think also when we are talking about sexual energy, that the essence of it is just to existence, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Well, I hope that, this kind of talk is not too complicated or too complex, because we're using terms which are not, quite uncommon, you know, like the Buddhist terminology. But what I mean, in order to summarize that, is that we have three bodies, and the senior body is the infinite, you know. So this is very important. The Tantra is connecting the three bodies, the gross, the subtle, and the causal.
Yeah.
I mean, the origin of our existence, that is called the causal, the origin of karma, you know, and all of that, you know. So it's very important to have a different vision of who we are, and not only enclosed in the singularity of just the physical body, you know. So we have three bodies, and the higher bodies are, you know, bigger in size, and the last one is infinite, you know. And it's important to practice in the body, the embodied spirituality, like living an everyday life, to enjoy, to love your body, to walk, to do some physical activity, you know, all of that, using your creativity through the body, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I can, for example, I'm sorry, when those Asian teachers came to the West during the 60s, the Zen Buddhist or, you know, the yogi, they were surprised that, I mean, the maturity of women So they were completely astonished that, well, they needed to translate, I mean, the Eastern practices into, you know, Western-like, you know, mod-like practices that were actually compatible to the new level of consciousness and, gender equalities and all of that, you know. So that's very important because in the West we recognize the validity and the dignity of the body again, not just the ascending. It was an ascending and descending movement, you know.
Mhm. And I think we are also talking about spirituality is one thing and culture is another thing, and that's why perhaps the term of Western Buddhism was growing. Because we have another tradition, we have women's labor and rights and equality and democracy, and well, it's another kind of democracy, I would say. So our culture is quite different from the Eastern culture, and when the spiritual teachers came in, perhaps not that much today, but in the 60s, 70s. Coming to the West, of course, they were so surprised and perhaps a bit shocked because it was very, very different. And when we are a link to a teacher and relate to a teacher, and a guru, it's more, well, a guru is a teacher and a friend, but, well, not the same relationship that you have in the East, or at least had in the East before. So, yeah, I perhaps it has been quite difficult to get this along together. And I think, well, in the US and also in Europe, the Western Buddhism is very, very popular because I think we have a rationality with rhymes with the Buddhist cosmology very well. But then the culture differences.
Yes, but we are not just speaking about Buddhism and Hinduism, we are speaking about Christian, because in Christianity now we are recognizing the need of living an embodied spirituality for a richer life, you know. So sexuality was considered as sinful, but it's not any longer a problem in a major part of the Western world, and I hope now it's extending to the entire planet. And through that, we can really, look at, to establish the basis, the foundation, of a new kind of spirituality between the earth and heaven, you know?
Absolutely. And then as you told us about the Romantic era, in the middle end of the 19th century, where this was the new movement, spiritual movement, you have spiritualism, theosophics, and several movements who was coming there and embraced the body and the use to have a body for spiritual awakening and spiritual development. And I think that is fantastic because when you are in a monastery, so you are never meeting these obstacles that we ordinary persons have with family, marriage, relationship, ordinary job, money problems, and all those things we are struggling with, also enjoying here in this life and using them for spiritual development. I think it's a fantastic possibility that you don't get if you live all your life in a monastery.
Oh, yes. Transcendence is also immanence. You're transcendent and immanent in the world, you know. So it's like having we are between the earth and heaven. It is exactly what I mean by embodied spirituality, to take care of your body as the temple of your soul, you know, and to give to give it massage and all that kind of daily care, you know, health concern, nutrition, and all of that stuff, you know.
Yeah, to embrace both the body and the soul.
Yeah, and to discover also a deeper love in sexuality, which is transcendental in itself, you know.
Yes.
And immanent, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But then I think there have been a lot of misunderstandings about this when the New Age and the hippie era was coming forward and everything was loosening up, all traditional values and things of viewing things, spirituality, the bodies, the people, etc. The New Age has been accused to be very materialistic and to not just celebrate the body, but kind of spiritual materialist. What do you have to say about that, Frankie?
Yes, spiritual materialism was expressed by that Lama Shogyam Trungpa, who was a very famous Tibetan monk, in America, and he lived his tantra-like philosophy, and taught that to his students in Boulder, in Colorado, I think. Yeah. There is that Naropa Institute there, as a legacy of Shogyam Trungpa. And yes, of course, now we are reconstructing, if you want, that true synthesis of that ascending and descending movement of the cycle of the spiritual energies between the three bodies, That is the meaning of Tantra, It's a deeper connection, a deeper integration of how to live fully, existentially happy in the body, in our beautiful world, and at the same time be in touch with the divine and visible,
Yeah, the trick is to be aware, and it's inside your head, it's the mind and the ways of viewing things, yourself, the spiritual realms, and this life. I think that's the crucial point here. And I was listening to an interview today with a Catholic priest, actually. He was very, very nice and working with helping people in the U.S. But I think Catholic priests, well, you can't be a woman and a priest there, and they can't get married. So here you divide the spirit from the body still. What do you think about that?
Yes, I agree. Christianity, the Catholic Church has been, divorced from the real life. You don't have that for the Protestant, the Orthodox, and even the Muslim world, the rabbis, or Judaism. But these guys were still looking at the body as something sinful. So what we are today is through Tantra is to give back, the body its dignity as the temple of the soul.
Yes, of course, then we reach.
It has some political consequences because we reach true equality between genders through that,
Yeah.
Because there were so much narratives projected on the body of the women, who were completely, divorced from, sanity, if you want. You see, at the Middle Ages, the Inquisition and all of that stuff, it was, a complete misunderstanding and, a calamity, if you want to. So today we have that more holistic and integrated spirituality and the complexity of the relationship between the masculine and the feminine as in the divine marriage archetype of, mentioned by Jung, Shiva and Parvati, Shakti and Shiva, in Tantra,
To realize the union
of opposite and unity consciousness.
Yeah, and you have yin and yang, and you have wisdom and methods, so going well together to create wholeness.
Yes, wisdom, the ascending, and agape, love, down, you know, the descending.
Yeah.
Wisdom and agape, love, karuna, you know.
Yes, and you have this in different ways, different religions and belief systems in different parts of the world. You have, the love, El Agape from Greece, and you have it in East, and you have it in Christianity. So you have it everywhere. So I think the trick is for us humans to really live that, and we should be grateful to have a body because this world is designed like that. And getting a physical body with a brain, the brain is a fantastic helping us to developing spirituality towards enlightenment. And we can do so many fantastic things with the body, even if perhaps it's sometimes an obstacle also. But, you know, I have been meeting so many of my clients and also pupils, students, trying to denying their physical body and escaping from the body and from this world and this life into spirituality. And that's not going to help them. It's not going to help anybody because you have to use your body. Everybody has to use their body into spirituality when, well, we are here as human beings for a reason. It's not a coincidence. So just choose it and live it and take help from the body and not trying to escape into some realm. Well, I don't think it's going to bring you very good consequences. It's much better to try to use this opportunity you have this time in life. Well, what do you think, Frankie?
Well, I totally agree with you. So the teacher said that the body is the antenna of the divine. So we have to, the way we are connected to God, you know, if you want, we're using these terms. You know.
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's fantastic. So I think also we all almost finished for today, closing up our show. But if you listeners want to contact with Frankie or me, you can book a private reading with me and you can book an astrology session with Frankie at our host pages at psychictalk.net, larianpsychictalk.net, Frankie. And you can also find us at Facebook, Spiritual Landscape, Larian Frankie, and of course at our website, www.spirituallandscapes.net. So hoping to get in touch with you soon. And next time, what's our subject next time, Frankie? Do you remember? Yeah?
Yes, actually, we had an idea of, we will speak about the hero's journey. Which is,
and I know
want, the compilation of the great mythologist Joseph Campbell, and is exactly our own history. You know, we are heroes and heroines in our existence. You know, so the hero's journey will be the next, and I hope that you will be a lot of people listening to that. It's very exciting.
Yeah, because we are all heroes and heroines trying to live this life. And when you are starting this spiritual development, I think it's fantastic because it's really a hero's journey with so many adventures. So thank you for today's great show and for listening to us. Thank you, Frankie. It was awesome to talk to you, to discuss with you here today. And people, don't forget to listen next time, the 10th of March, at our topic, The Hero's Journey. So thank you, everybody. And thank you, Frankie. See you in the kitchen.
Yeah, goodbye, everybody.